It's football season, and you got to keep up with the action. Listen in to Pushing the Pile, part of CBS Sports Podcast Network with Mike Renner, Kyle Long, and now me, JP Acosta, for smart analysis of everything between the lines. With four episodes a week, Sunday night recaps, film review, power tiers, and weekly previews, you will know ball. Stick with us until one team lifts the Lombardi. Follow and listen to Pushing the Pile on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Botox Cosmetic, onabotulinum toxin A, FDA approved for over 20 years. So, talk to your specialist to see if Botox Cosmetic is right for you.
For full prescribing information, including boxed warning, visit BotoxCosmetic.com or call 877-351-0300.
Remember to ask for Botox Cosmetic by name. To see for yourself and learn more, visit BotoxCosmetic.com. That's BotoxCosmetic.com.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you to our producer holding things down in New York, Ryan Boncher. We appreciate you for being here. Okay, the show gets started every weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. That means we've been hanging out for an hour. And what have we discussed? Tua Tagovailoa apologizing to his teammates for throwing him under the bus. Yeah, that's your quarterback. The Dolphins suck. Okay, let's just leave it there. We talked about Rashee Rice on his way back. He'll be making his debut this Sunday for the Kansas City Chiefs as they take on the Raiders. The Kansas City Chiefs are starting to get healthy. And then we got a guy like him suspended. He's going to come off of his suspension from driving like an idiot. Russell Westbrook, he's going to be back. 18th season in the NBA, he signs a one-year contract with the Sacramento Kings. I don't expect to see him finish that contract. I think he'll be traded mid-season. And then, of course, we talked about the Dodgers and their 5-1 victory over the Brewers last night, now moving them to 2-0 in the National League Championship Series. Yeah, these Dodgers are getting closer to the World Series. And about an hour from now, we got a team that they're trying to get even closer. The Mariners have an opportunity to go 3-0 against the Toronto Blue Jays starting in about an hour from now in Seattle at home. So we'll keep you up to date when that game gets started. In an hour from now, I have a new top six list for you. We'll be talking about the top six athletes to never win a ring. Thank you, Russell Westbrook, for the inspiration. And so that top six list is coming your way in an hour from now. We got Matt Verderam from SI. He will join us in about 20 minutes to talk some more NFL. We got a lot to do. You want to be a part of the show? 888-710-4ISN is the number. That's 888-710-4ISN. You can find me online at JR Sport Brief. And this is funny. Like, in what world have things flipped around like this? We just talked about Tua opening up his yap, saying all these stupid things this year. He's like, oh, well, you know, I'm not half as good as Josh Allen. I can't do half the things that he can do. Okay, clueless and tone deaf. And then, you know, Cam Newton just goes, yeah, I don't think Tua's all that great. Tua's response is to say, you know, everybody has an opinion and everybody can have a clicker and they haven't played an armchair this. And it's just like, do you know the criticism was coming from, you know, former MVP, a guy who took his team to the Super Bowl, Heisman Award winner, Cam Newton. He's kind of clueless again. And then this past Sunday, after the Dolphins lost to the Chargers, it looked like they would win and then they still lost. Tua threw three interceptions. And Tua is just like, oh, you know what? Who cares about my three interceptions? I got a bunch of teammates that don't show up to meetings and we need to be committed. And then once again, Tua just comes across as kind of tone deaf. All right. This is who the Dolphins have committed to. And eventually Mike McDaniel will be gone. And I think Tua, well, they're going to tell him to sit his behind down, too. All right. So does Tua even care about football? At the end of this contract, Tua may count his money and just go, hey, I'll be a backup anywhere. And I lower my risk of concussion. So he got a good life. It's just wild. Tua is the one saying all of these crazy things. And that leads me to this quarterback. He hasn't said anything crazy all year. He hasn't said a wild word. No conspiracy theories. Not throwing anybody under the bus. No Pat McAfee. That is Aaron Rodgers. Like Tua's replacing him? Maybe not in the same way. Aaron Rodgers is out there on his own planet. The Steelers are 4-1. They just beat the Browns 23-9. Aaron Rodgers threw 10 touchdowns, or has thrown 10 touchdowns and 3 interceptions so far this season. And things are looking good for the Steelers. And the fact that he's not saying anything really does show you the amount of respect that he has for Mike Tomlin, that he has for the organization, that he is just showing up right now. And the most thing, you know, critical thing that he said about anybody, anything, is that stupid turf that they play on in Pittsburgh, that both they and Pitt go out there and just destroy every single weekend. And so things are good in the Steel City for now. I know by the time we get to the end of the season, if the Steelers lose, they want to fire Mike Tomlin again. It's just, it's wash, rinse, and repeat. But for right now, things are looking good. And for the Steelers, their next opponent happens to be the Cincinnati Bengals. And when does this game take place? Tomorrow, Thursday Night Football in Cincinnati. Now, in a typical sense, in an ideal world, we wouldn't see 40-year-old Joe Flacco versus 41-year-old Aaron Rodgers. We'd see Aaron Rodgers versus an MVP candidate, a young one, and Joe Burrow. But we know Joe Burrow, well, they better pray to God that he can come back this season. Who knows? The Bengals are cooked either way. This is where it stands. We got a battle of the old guys. Of course, the Browns just moved Joe Flacco from Cleveland, sent him to Cincinnati. He's 40. Aaron Rodgers is 41 years old. And tomorrow will be the third time in NFL history that we got two guys over 40 starting in a regular season game. The only other two times that this took place, we got to go back to 2020 when Tom Brady and Drew Brees went at each other twice. Of course, in the NFC South, you got the Buccaneers and you got the Saints. Between Aaron Rodgers and Joe Flacco, they have a combined 81 years of age and 39 seasons of NFL experience. I mean, people are making jokes about this game tomorrow. Even Cam Hayward of the Steelers, he ain't no spring chicken himself. I think he's about 36. Cam Hayward just, he gave this game a new name.
Oldest quarterback playing this week. Let's go. Woo! Icy hot ball. I love it.
Icy hot ball. Okay. Bunch of old guys just feeling pain after the game. I think Joe Flacco may be feeling more of the pain after the game. This is what Aaron Rodgers had to say about the icy hot ball.
Yeah, I think it's great for all the old guys, you know. I know that when I watch other sports, maybe it's because I'm the older guy, but I tend to pull for the older guys to win championships. I've been friends with Steph for a long time. Steph is one of the older guys in the NBA now. So anytime the Warriors are playing, I'm always pulling for Steph to ball out for them to win. But it's great. I mean, I've known Joe for a long time. He's been great coming to my charity event. He's been a great ambassador for the league. He's had a great career, and it's fun that we're both still playing.
Hey, Botcher, who would have thought that Steph Curry and Aaron Rodgers are friends, huh?
Hey, Steph Curry, I feel like out of the league, he might do some like crazy stuff in the offseason, besides golf.
You think Steph Curry is doing ayahuasca with Aaron Rodgers?
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe they meet at one little golf trip, one game they play, and then they hang out after that.
Yeah, I think it stops at golf buddies. Like, Steph Curry has a wife and a bunch of kids. God only knows what Aaron Rodgers does. Doesn't he reportedly, he has a wife, right? Isn't that what he called her?
He's got a wife, and maybe he has kids we don't know about, so.
Oh, okay. Bye. Yeah. Well, yeah, there's a lot about Aaron Rodgers we don't know about and things that he doesn't want us to know. It's kind of cool, I guess, that Joe Flacco is also showing up to his golf events, because what else are rich athletes going to do? Play golf. This is what Joe Flacco had to say about taking on another old guy in Rodgers.
I've been in a locker room my whole life, so it, you know, age isn't something that I think about. I just view myself as one of those 20-something-year-olds in the locker room, and so it's not something I really think about. But I think one day when you look back on it, it's just one of those things that'll be pretty cool to be able to, you know, have a matchup like this.
And speaking of wives, oh, here we go. I just remember Matthew Stafford's wife. I don't know if it was last season, two seasons ago. His wife was running around saying, hey, my husband is the old quarterback. He's 35, 36, and he has to find a way to relate to his teammates. And now we got 40-year-old Joe Flacco who's like, hey, when I show up, I feel like I'm a 20-year-old guy. Despite the wrinkles and the gray hair, all of those things, whatever, okay? I love how these guys love each other. This is what happens when you get older. Everybody realizes that it's all about the love. Even Aaron Rodgers, he's like Joe Flacco. I love the guy. He throws an amazing ball.
He is one of the, you know, kind of the old school 2000s, 90s prototypical quarterbacks. Where so many, even when I was coming in the game, it was the big guys who had the big arms. And now you're seeing, you know, there's some smaller guys. There's obviously some really athletic guys playing a position. And I think he would probably agree with me sometimes when you're watching other guys play, you feel like they're playing a different position because of the kind of athleticism and the way the game is called. There's more read option called. You're seeing more of the college game into the NFL. But I've always enjoyed watching Joe play and have a lot of respect for him and his game.
Yeah, these are two dudes who ain't moving around tomorrow, okay? Do not expect any, you know, fancy runs. Don't expect, you know, high athleticism. Aaron Rodgers he used to be pretty nimble back there, running, throwing a pass on a run. And them days are over. He can still move. He's moving better than he was with the Jets. And Joe Flacco, I mean, let's be real. He's pretty much been a statue his entire career. Bengals are going nowhere. Four-game skid, just lost to the Packers. Joe Flacco, four touchdowns, six interceptions on a year. That's between, obviously, his time in Cleveland as a starter in Cincinnati. And Aaron Rodgers looking good, 10 touchdowns to three interceptions. I don't think I'm going out on a limb here and saying that, all things considered, you should probably expect the Steelers to beat the Bengals tomorrow. Okay, I think that's a fair one. I think one of the larger stories that we actually have right now with the Steelers isn't so much about the icy hot bowl. I think we got a lot of people who are taking a look at the field in Pittsburgh. Now, the game tomorrow will be in Cincinnati. But, man, we had Boswell slipping in the turf the other day, missed a field goal, big old divots coming up. We got Pitt, the Panthers still playing the same damn stadium. Ben Roethlisberger is saying they need to go find somewhere else to play. And they actually resodded the field, I believe, right on Monday after the game. There's just so much action. They even have high school games in that stadium as the season continues on. So Aaron Rodgers, he might have love for Joe Flacco. He does not love his home field.
First half drives stalled, but thankfully Boz, you know, took care of those kicks before the field got borderline unplayable. So that was nice to get those touchdowns in the second half.
Yeah, Cam Hayward on the defensive side, he has to put his feet in that damn dirt and try to create some leverage getting to the QB. He says the field sucks too.
Honestly, it was, I lost one of my teammates, and you know, kind of makes me sad.
Do you still like the grass over the turf, even if it's 20?
I like grass, but that wasn't grass we're playing.
What can you guys do differently to make sure
I can't do anything? So
I mean, the stadium.
I'm not a landscaper. I'm not going to ask like I am, but you know, hopefully it's handled by the next time we play.
He's like, I'm not no landscaper. Like, asking me about grass. I know what a good surface is, and that field in Pittsburgh, that it is not. Well, at least they don't have to worry about it today, or tomorrow, I should say. We got Thursday Night Football, the Icy Hot Bowl, Battle of the Old Guys, Aaron Rodgers versus Joe Flacco, 41 years old versus 40 years old. If you're over the age of 40, I don't know, just root for both of them and root that nobody gets sacked. Because, man, let me tell you, one of my biggest fears myself is hitting the floor. I do not want to see the floor. I don't want to fall. I don't want to trip. I don't want to stumble. I don't want to walk into anything. I don't want to bump into anything. And these 40-year-old guys out there getting their asses kicked. They make a lot of money to do so. Aaron Rodgers, excited. This is the Steelers' first primetime game of the season. Anyway, it's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. We'll hear Aaron Rodgers' excitement later. We're going to take a break. Tomorrow might be the start of week 7 of the NFL season. When we come back, we're going to have a conversation with someone who, he's a great guest. He's always fun. Matt Verderam is going to join us from SI Now. And we'll ask him about the Steelers and the fact that Aaron Rodgers, he's been pretty quiet lately, which is, I guess, a good thing. And we'll get into all the parity currently in the NFL. We'll ask him about some bad teams. Hello to the Titans and the Dolphins. We'll get into some good teams. Well, are the Chiefs on their way to bouncing back? What about Baker Mayfield? How long can he keep the magic going with the Buccaneers? There's a lot to discuss with Matt Verderam. We'll do that on the other side of the break. You're locked in. You're listening. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network.
It's football season, and you got to keep up with the action. Listen in to Pushing the Pile, part of CBS Sports Podcast Network with Mike Renner, Kyle Long, and now me, JP Acosta, for smart analysis of everything between the lines. With 4 episodes a week, Sunday night recaps, film review, power tiers, and weekly previews, you will know ball. Stick with us until one team lifts the Lombardi. Follow and listen to Pushing the Pile on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Botox Cosmetic, onabotulinum botulinum toxin A, FDA approved for over 20 years. So, talk to your specialist to see if Botox Cosmetic is right for you.
For full prescribing information, including boxed warning, visit BotoxCosmetic.com or call 877-351-0300.
Remember to ask for Botox Cosmetic by name. To see for yourself and learn more, visit BotoxCosmetic.com. That's BotoxCosmetic.com.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
The JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. And we got week 7 of the NFL season getting started tomorrow in Cincinnati. It's the icy hot ball. 41-year-old Aaron Rodgers, 40-year-old Joe Flacco, he just got to Cincinnati. Are they going to get us started? Got a lot of other storylines going on in the NFL right now. Got the Chiefs with Rasheed Rice back and Baker Mayfield looking like an MVP, the Titans with a temporary head coach. To chat about it all, joining us right now is someone who covers all things NFL for SI Now. Welcome back, Matt Verderam. Matt, how are you?
What's going on? How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. I guess, are you excited for the icy hot ball tomorrow? Should we expect the Steelers beat now?
I'd be lying to you if I said I was excited for that football game. I am contractually obligated to cover it. And so I will be writing about it. But, yeah, I mean, look, honestly, if the Bengals were just a touch more competitive, I'd be, okay, you know, it's a reasonable game. We'll see how it plays out. You know, it's in Cincinnati, but, man, the Bengals without Burrow. Like, you could make a real argument that there's not a single player, you know, Lamar Jackson probably be the other guy, of course, Allen, who, if they got hurt, their team would have, like, a bigger drop-off than that. Like, I mean, because even Mahomes, look, as great as Mahomes is, of course, Chiefs didn't have Mahomes, it would be good, but, like, Gardner Minshew probably go in there, it'd be, like, 500 team. You know, they have a defense, a good coach. The Bengals lose Burrow, and they're an expansion team, but they can't do anything. So it's hard for me to see Pittsburgh losing that game, short of just a bunch of turnovers, a ton of penalties, you know, stuff like that.
Well, it's nice to actually just kind of focus in on Aaron Rodgers and football. What do you think this season is ultimately going to look like for the Steelers? Is it going to be same old, they'll be good, get into the playoffs, and then kind of move? Or do you think there's so much parity in the league right now that even the Steelers have a chance to go far?
Well, you know, I think, JR, you look at the conference, and it's a conference that kind of mirrors the whole league in the sense of there's not a team that's playing lights out. Now, if I'm being honest, by the time we get to January, I do think the Kansas City, Buffalo, it's going to be really hard to picture Pittsburgh beating one of those two teams in the playoff game. Anybody else in the conference? Sure. Absolutely. Like, they could beat a New England. They could beat Indianapolis. They could beat, you know, Jacksonville, or if Houston gets in, or Denver, or the Chargers. I think they'd have a shot at beating those teams. I don't think they could score enough to beat Buffalo. And I don't think they're good enough across the board to be Kansas City. You know, their passing game, if you look at the numbers, nobody has a lower average depth of target than Aaron Rodgers. It's literally like barely over 3 yards. So that passing game is so limited, and it's so predictable. Look, against bad teams, you can play that way and kind of just think and dunk your way through it, play decent defense. Against a really good team, when you've got to score 27, 30 points, I think that's where it becomes difficult. But because of the weakness of the conference, you know, could I see them getting to the divisional round? Sure, I think they could, but I think that's probably their ceiling.
Matt Verderam here with us from SI Now. You talk about the Kansas City Chiefs. We know that they're getting Rashee Rice back. You feel good about them. So ultimately, you think, well, I know people are kind of down on the Bills right now, two-game losing streak, getting beat up by Atlanta on Monday. You high on where the Chiefs can go? Do you think they'll also maybe add a guy here or two at the deadline?
Yeah, I think they'll poke around at running back and at edge rush. You know, I can see them calling, making a call on like a Jalen Phillips in Miami. I can see them calling Breece Hall, you know, the Jets, and maybe even an Alvin Kamara in New Orleans. I don't think they're going to part with major draft capital, but I think they could part with a mid to late round pick. You know, they're low on cap space, but they could always maneuver to open up enough to get one of those guys in there. I'm high on the Chiefs from this standpoint. They look offensively the last 3 weeks better than they've looked since Mahomes was an MVP last in 2022. I mean, this is the first time in a long time where when they get the ball, I just expect them to score a touchdown.
Yeah.
Like they just move, and it's they move with ease. It's just easy. It, guys are open. Mahomes is all day to throw. They, you know, they've got weapons all over. Now they're adding Rice back in. He's the best weapon they have. Look, I think there are teams in the West you have to respect, like the Chargers, the Broncos. But when you look at the Chiefs' schedule, it's a lot easier going forward than it is going, you know, back behind them. Yeah, I mean, look, before the year, I picked them and the Rams to get the Super Bowl. And I probably wouldn't change that pick. I mean, maybe you want to throw Tampa in there. That's fine. But I just look at the Chiefs and say, the only team that I really think in a playoff game can beat them, unless they beat themselves, is Buffalo. And the way Buffalo's defense has played all year long, I think Buffalo's going to have to get the 40s to beat them. I don't think they can stop Kansas City. They can't cover them. They can't pressure the quarterback. So, look, it's a long season. We'll see where we are in January. But right now, yeah, if I had to pick a team to get out of AFC, it'd be them, even though they're 3-3.
Well, Matt, you talk about some of the issues that the Bills have on defense right now. We know the Eagles are also scuffling. I know you favor the Rams to go to the Super Bowl. What are your thoughts on the Eagles? Is this a natural hangover? They have lost some pieces. It seems like the same team. They're going with a little bit more youth than what they've had with the Rams retiring and whatnot. Yep. What are your thoughts on the Eagles?
I think they'll figure it out. And I think they'll get right. They're still an extremely dangerous team. Look, there's a few things that are obvious that are much different than a year ago. Last year, Saquon Barkley rushed for over 2,000 yards. This year, he's not even rushing for 4 yards a carry. Like, they are just not getting anything in the run game. And if they can't get the run game going, you know, they're not like a lot of other big offenses. You know, you look at Buffalo, you look at Kansas City. Those teams, yes, look, Buffalo can run the heck out of the ball. They're second, I believe, in the league in rushing. But you fear the heck out of that quarterback just dropping back and throwing the ball. And I'm not saying Hurts can't do that. Look, he's played some great playoff games. He's thrown the ball really well in those games. But when you play Philadelphia, their whole game is establishing the run, play action off of that, getting those one-on-one matchups with the big receivers and going downfield. When Barkley's not running the way he's – it's kind of like when the Lions, like when they can't get Montgomery and Gibbs going – it just changes that whole offense. All of a sudden, you're like, all right, well, yeah, we don't mind Goff dropping back 35 times and throwing the ball. He's probably not going to beat us. Hurts, I like Hurts. I'm a Hurts fan. But when they aren't going with Barkley, they got a problem defensively. They lost a lot of pieces. You know, that they are not the same defensive team they were. I don't think they're bad defensively, but they're just kind of okay defensively, which is fine if the offense is really good. But if the offense isn't really good, then you got a problem. And so I think they'll get right, but I don't think they're anywhere near as powerful as they were a year ago.
Matt Verderam here with us from SI Now, covers all things NFL. A team that I'm kind of like, wow, they're just doing it. It makes Baker look absolutely amazing are the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They are 5-1. It's just them and the Colts. It's every week somebody goes down. We know about Godwin's injury dating back to last year. You got Evans, his hammy was bothering him last year. It's bothering him now. You got Bucky Irvin going down. They're finding wide receivers off the street, and they're still winning. How sustainable is this for the Bucs?
How sustainable it is, it's really impressive. Look, I said earlier, I had the Chiefs and Rams in the Super Bowl. I had the Bucs in the NFC title. And I expected a lot out of them, and then Evans gets hurt. Godwin obviously came into the year hurt. McMillan got hurt over the summer. Ibuka has come in and been amazing. But now he's hurt. He's got a hamstring. Irving, as you mentioned, he's out. Tristan Wirfs missed a lot of time earlier. They were beat up on the interior at one point. It is a miracle that team is 5-1. And Mayfield deserves all the credit in the world. I mean, you said it at the top of the interview. Like, right now, if you're talking about the MVP of the league, it's got to be Mayfield or Mahomes, right? Like, it's got to be one of those two guys. And you could argue it either way, although I think even at this point, I would even probably give the nod to Mayfield in the sense I think he's had a harder lift. And they're 5-1. The Chiefs are 3-3. But look, I think Mayfield has been spectacular. His numbers are excellent, and he's throwing to virtually nobody at this point. I mean, we're, you know, Sterling Shepard and a bunch of guys you've never heard of, you know, Cade Otton. Like, this is really interesting stuff. The Tampa's playing like this, even without all these guys. What do they look like when all these guys come back, or at least most of these guys come back? They've won a lot of really tight games. You know, the first four ones they had were all, like, at the end of the game.
That's right.
You know, I mean, you could argue, hey, like, is that magic going to wear off? Maybe. But I still think they're really good. I think they're a legitimate threat to get this Super Bowl. And if they're there, win it. I think they're a really good team. And Mayfield has clearly established himself as one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL.
Oh, without a shadow of a doubt. I mean, just even that run that we saw on Sunday against the Chargers,
yeah.
I was rooting for him to become the juggernaut. He looked like it. You got to appreciate anybody who plays like that. Staying in Florida, Matt, let's go to South Florida, unfortunately. Is Tua, is he okay? He got diarrhea of the mouth? Is he trying to get Mike McDaniel fired faster? What's going on with that train wreck?
Yeah, I wrote about this after they lost to the Panthers. And it's still certainly true now. Like, if you are Stephen Ross, you're the owner of the Dolphins, you've got to just blow this thing sky high. I mean, you cannot sit here and have a straight face and tell anybody you think this thing's going to work. It's gotten worse year after year. They went out, and look, they went all in on Tyreek Hill, and they went on Bradley Chubb, and on Jalen Ramsey, and on and on and on. They put all these guys. Well, Hill's played his last game as a Dolphin. Okay, maybe, unfortunately, ever, but certainly as a Dolphin. Ramsey's gone. You brought Micah Fitzpatrick back in. That hasn't worked out to any meaningful amount. Bradley Chubb, I'm sure, look, if they could trade him, they're going to trade him at the deadline this year. That team's done. That team is terrible. You're not going to win with this team. And McDaniel, you know, what concerns me with McDaniel is they have shown no signs that they can stem the tide. Like, I don't expect that team to be good with the roster they have right now. They're not even competitive in a lot of these games. I mean, they just get a knock. Now, the Chargers game, they're down 13 points with 5 minutes left, and the Chargers became the Chargers briefly, gave up 14 points in like 4 minutes before winning. But, yeah, look, Tua, you can't do what he did, man. You can't go out there and start throwing everybody under the bus. I have been in enough locker rooms to know, as you start doing that kind of stuff, guys are done with you. And once guys are done with you, it's over. There's no way to fix that. I think, look, sooner rather than later, they're going to have a wholesale change, both GM and the coach. And Tua, I think he's probably there next year just based on his contract. That's probably it.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one. Speaking of people moving around, in that same division, the Jets are equally as awful, if not worse. They don't even have a victory. There's a lot of rumors about who might get moved. We got Aaron Glenn already getting into it with the media. What's going on with the Jets? Are they going to blow things up? I feel like they just did.
That's kind of, look, so the Jets, there's a more nuanced conversation to have about them. The bullet points are Woody Johnson is a terrible owner. He's a terrible owner. He is involved and he shouldn't be involved. He's hands-off and he shouldn't be hands-off. And when you have an owner on that level, a bottom, you know, 3 to 5 owner in the league, you're just going to stink unless you luck into something. Like, unless you just fall rear end backwards into something good. Like, you're not going to be good. Like, I think Aaron Glenn genuinely deserves a couple of years to figure this thing out. Look, Justin Fields can't play. I mean, let's just be honest. Justin Fields is a backup quarterback in the NFL. He's not good. And he was the guy that, new GM Darren Mogi decided to give $30 million guaranteed to. You're not winning with that guy. You're not. He can't play. He's been on three teams in 3 years for a reason. He's not good. Okay. They defensively, they're all right. They're fine. But they need to get a real quarterback. I mean, when you look at the Jets' history, they have not had a legitimate franchise quarterback since Joe Namath. And you're not going to win in today's day. You know, look around at the division. You got Josh Allen, you have Drake May. You have no shot without a quarterback. I don't think they're going to one-and-done Glenn. It's the Jets. You never know. But, I think you could see a fire sale. Breece Hall, I think, is gone. You know, Jermaine Johnson, they'd have to probably get a lot for him, but I could see them moving off to him, some other people. They need as many draft picks as possible, and they need for once, for the first time in about 60 years, to actually hit on some of them, including a quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, the Jets are in the they're one of the worst professional sports teams in the entire country. Unfortunately, that's not even just the NFL. Hey, Matt, thank you for reminding the Jet fans how bad it is.
No problem. It's they get reminded of it every Sunday.
You're right about that one, Matt. Hey, tell everybody where they could find you and all your work with SI Now.
Yeah, just at SI.com. Also in the magazine, so subscribe. And then just on Twitter, at Matt Verderam. I've got a Sunday column that goes out every week, The Good, Bad, and Ugly. And it's kind of a recap with a spin on how it affects things going forward. Friday preview column, best 5 or 6 games of the weekend, something to look for and a prediction. So you want to check that out, like I said, SI.com or at my Twitter feed.
Hey, Matt, always a pleasure, man. Thanks for dropping by to tell us about The Good, Bad, and Ugly, okay?
Hey, thanks a lot. Take care.
All the time. Thank you to Matt Verderam for joining us from SI Now. I mean, he's high on what these Kansas City Chiefs can do. I am, too. They're looking good. I mean, well, look, come on now. People can go through stretches. I remember a couple years ago, people were looking at Patrick Mahomes going, he peaked. And all he did is go out there and win more Super Bowls. So you never know. I mean, look, people looked at Tom Brady at the end. Oh, he's throwing ducks. He's not the same Tom Brady in Tampa. He won a Super Bowl. Like, the quarterback still is the most important dude on the team. And if your quarterback is going to be a badass, if he's going to be one of the best, if he already is one of the best and greatest of all time, I think there's a good chance, a good point, that you should go out there and make a bet on him. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network, 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. When we come back on the other side of the break, I'm going to check out the phone lines. I'm going to give you a quick preview of this game. The Mariners are trying to go up 3-0 against the Toronto Blue Jays. We'll get into that. And then at the top of the hour, we'll most certainly give you a new top six list. We'll take a look at the top six athletes to never win a championship. It's the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network, and right now it's time for a news flash with Rich Ackerman.
It's football season, and you got to keep up with the action. Listen in to Pushing the Pile, part of CBS Sports Podcast Network with Mike Renner, Kyle Long, and now me, JP Acosta, for smart analysis of everything between the lines. With 4 episodes a week, Sunday night recaps, film review, power tiers, and weekly previews, you will know ball. Stick with us until one team lifts the Lombardi. Follow and listen to Pushing the Pile on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Botox Cosmetic, botulinum toxin A, FDA approved for over 20 years. So, talk to your specialist to see if Botox Cosmetic is right for you.
For full prescribing information, including boxed warning, visit BotoxCosmetic.com or call 877-351-0300.
Remember to ask for Botox Cosmetic by name. To see for yourself and learn more, visit BotoxCosmetic.com. That's BotoxCosmetic.com.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Thank you so much to Matt Verderam for joining us from SI Now to talk about all things NFL. He's high on the Kansas City Chiefs. He feels good about the Buccaneers if they can turn things around. If you missed that entire conversation with Matt, you can go ahead and hit rewind on the free Odyssey app. The phone lines are open if you want to give me a holler. That's 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. And we're getting ready for a couple of things. Right here on these airwaves in about 15 minutes, I'm going to share with you a new top six list. It's what we do every single Wednesday. And today we will take a look at the top six athletes to never win a championship. Russell Westbrook signed with the Sacramento Kings earlier today. As of now, 18 seasons, no rings. He may never win a championship. Maybe he'll be on the back end of a roster this season. We're going to come to find out. But a top six list of athletes to never win a championship, that's coming your way. And then also, in about 30 minutes or so, a little less than that, we're going to have game three between the Seattle Mariners and the Toronto Blue Jays. The Mariners are trying to go up 3-0 against the Jays. We'll talk about that in a second. Let's go ahead and talk to Alex in Miami. Alex, you're on the JR Sport Brief Show. What's on your mind?
Hey, JR. The truest thing you said the whole show is that the Dolphins suck, and it's really hard to be a Dolphins fan nowadays. Now, going to your top six list, don't give it away, but I hope that my guy, Dan Marino, is on there because I think that he belongs on that list. But I don't want to talk anymore about the Dolphins because I'm going to get you ready to go to dinner here with my wife, and I don't want to get indigestion. I want to have a pleasant night.
What you getting ready to go eat?
Cooper's Hawk, man. I'm going to Cooper's Hawk.
Oh, what the heck is that? What is that, Alex?
Cooper's Hawk is a restaurant here in South Florida. Oh. They have real, real good wine, a good wine list.
Okay.
And it's just excellent cuisine, man. It's a real nice place to eat. And I'm going to go ahead and enjoy that. So have you ever come to South Florida?
It ain't in South Beach now, is it?
No. I don't play Russian roulette, man. I go to other parts of town.
It's a bunch of overpriced crap over there. Okay, good on you, Alex. Well, what else you got?
Yes, sir. When it comes to the Kansas City Chiefs, we saw the version of the Kansas City Chiefs when Mahomes threw for 5,000 yards and 50 touchdowns. Then we saw the Kansas City Chiefs 2.0, where they won with good defense and clutch play from the offense. You know, you got to give Andy Reid, you got to give Spags, you got to give Nagy a lot of credit. That team is well coached. And going to see the future, I think that we're going to see the Kansas City's version 3.0 coming up. I think it's going to be a little bit of offense with a little bit of defense that at the end of the day is going to make them great. So a lot of people are counting them out, but I wouldn't count them out, you know. Let's let the season play on. And I think at the end, you know, the Arrowhead Invitational might be over, but the Chiefs deep run into the playoffs, I think won't be. And I think they're going to be to be reckoned with going into the playoffs.
Well, I think, and it's kind of ironic, and thank you, Alex, for calling from Miami. Enjoy that dinner with your wife. It was just, 2 weeks ago that it's just like, oh, my God, if the Chiefs win, they can go ahead and tie for a lead in the AFC West, and they end up losing that game, and then they get back to 500 this week, and now they got the Raiders coming up on Sunday. It's looking good. They're 3-3. It doesn't appear that anybody is running away with the AFC West. I don't know. Maybe the Broncos' defense can just put the screws to everybody and make that a little bit more competitive. But all things considered, if you're going into a playoff matchup, and you got the Broncos, and then you got the Kansas City Chiefs on the other side, who you picking? Unless the Broncos end up being just like one of these historically great, you know, defenses, who you picking? You know, I'm putting the chips in the middle of the table, and I'm going to go with Patrick Mahomes. I mean, I did it last year all the way until the final game, and we saw what took place there. He's just a phenomenal player, and he had an off year last season. They still went to the Super Bowl. And now he's having a little bit of a bounce back, and he has guys like Rashee Rice who are going to be back with him out on that football field starting Sunday against the Raiders. So, anybody who looked at the Chiefs and just said, oh, my God, they're cooked, they're done, I think the offense is going to be better than what they were last year. Of course, we want to see how Patrick Mahomes is protected throughout the season. And the defense, well, they're not as good as they were last year, but the defense is still passable, and we got so much more time to get to. So let's see if this team, the Kansas City Chiefs, can go back out there and compete for another championship, because there is no dominant team. We'll see. We got a lot more to the season to go. I told you about the Mariners and the Blue Jays. The Mariners, speaking of championships, they've never won one. They've never been to a World Series. And tonight, they're going to try to go 3-0 in their series, the American League Championship Series, against the Blue Jays. The Mariners, I mean, we talked about the Dodgers and their starters. Of course, you think about the Dodgers and the bullpen is what can get you in trouble. The Mariners are the opposite. They got the starters, and their bullpen has just been phenomenal. 9 scoreless innings in the series. And if you got to go back to when they took on the Tigers, keep in mind they had to go 5 games against them. You had to have Polanco help you win the game in the 15th inning of Game 5. If you go back to the Tiger series, it's been 18 shutout innings by the bullpen. That's nuts. Dan Wilson, the manager of the Mariners, he's like, yeah, I know my pitching staff is great. How the hell you think we got here?
Again, this is a group that's tight. The whole pitching staff together is tight. They share information. They talk about it. They let each other know what it's like. And so they're a little bit more prepared too. So, it's good knowing that, these guys have had a little bit of experience now under their belt and they're ready to go.
Man, I told you, Mariners fans are going to be jumping. Mariners are coming home to play. They already got a 2-0 lead. They've never been to a World Series. Tonight, they get a chance to pick up 3 wins. They're going to be screaming. They're going to be yelling. They're going to be hollering. They're going to anticipate a victory. This is what they're looking for. George Kirby is going to be on the mound against Shane Bieber. But what I want to see is how raucous the crowd is going to be. You got both managers and both teams who have to take this into account. And, well, let's be real here. John Schneider is just like, yeah, this team, that team, they're whooping ass. But us, we just have to be centered. We have to be one with ourselves. Well, we got to stay in the moment and not think about 3 different games. Listen.
When you kind of live that out, it becomes part of your day. It becomes part of your process. So it helps that we have guys that can say, let's turn the page. But we talk about it pretty regularly, and when the guys talk about it pretty regularly, it's kind of who you become.
Everybody's talking about staying in the moment. I mean, Josh Naylor hit a home run in the last game. Everybody hit a home run, almost. Julio Rodriguez, Polanco hit one. He hit one. Even he's saying we got to be present in the moment.
I don't really like looking too ahead. I like taking care of the day. And if we win, awesome. If we lose, take those lessons and learn from it and then move forward to the next game.
Oh, it's the players always being modest. Come on now. I want to see what the fans are going to do. Never been to a World Series. I hope they just get it over with. Okay, win today, win tomorrow, go to the World Series, take on the Dodgers. Give us a good one. Dan Wilson, the manager, he's like, oh, yeah, our fans, they're going to be hyped. They're going to be ready to go.
It sounds very cliche, but you take it one step at a time. And tomorrow night, we're looking forward to getting back out there, taking in the atmosphere here at T-Mobile. We know it's going to be an awesome atmosphere here for baseball. So that's where our focus lies. We get back to work.
Botch, I say just get it over with. Sweep them and keep it moving. We ain't got no time for this. Just get it over with.
Hey, I would traditionally say that, but I feel that the Mariners aren't like the Dodgers in the fact we're like, okay, they have enough star power. So if the Blue Jays do get one, I'd say, okay, let this play out. Because maybe we could have a good series.
Maybe. Possibly. I'm still going with the Mariners. I say get it over with. And also I want to rub it in the face of Vladimir Guerrero. The Yankees lose. And somebody, he got something coming to him if they lose, okay? And Blue Jays, get it together. I'm going with the Mariners, okay? It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. We're going to take a break. When we come back, it's time for a new top 6 list. Top 6 athletes to never win a championship. That's coming your way in a matter of minutes. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network.
It's football season, and you got to keep up with the action. Listen in to Pushing the Pile, part of CBS Sports Podcast Network with Mike Renner, Kyle Long, and now me, JP Acosta, for smart analysis of everything between the lines. With 4 episodes a week, Sunday night recaps, film review, power tiers, and weekly previews, you will know ball. Stick with us until one team lifts the Lombardi. Follow and listen to Pushing the Pile on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.